So as we turn to halakha topic and Perek Mem Beis, so truth is, it wasn't so easy. There were a few things that were alluded to. One is the issue of Ayin Hara, that Yaakov instructed his sons not to all go in the same gate, and Rashi said because it was to avoid Ayin Hara. There is the idea of also anticipating a sakana, that we are nervous about sakanas nefashos, we would violate Shabbos, but what about anticipating one? That we're afraid that this might lead to a sakana. So that also seems to come from this week's parsha, from this perek, because Yaakov instructed his children, right, go down before, at least according to one of the interpretations of the pasuk, why are you looking at each other? Go down, before you get hungry, go down and get food, so that we don't, anticipating that that's going to happen. But I also came across the Torah to me, Makotz from Yerushalmi, that this parak actually serves as the source that 10 adult men would equal a minion. How do we see that in this parak? So in Pasuk Hey, it says, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael lishpor b'socha ba'im, ki ra'av, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong pasuk here. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael lishpor b'socha ba'im, ki ya'arav eretz Mitzrayim. That's in Pasuk Hey. So comes the Torah Tmim and says, Uksiv hasam v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that I will be sanctified amongst B'nai Yisrael. Ma B'nai Yisrael Amor Kana Sarah, just as here when it refers to B'nai Yisrael, the B'nai Yisrael are going down. How many of B'nai Yisrael were going down? 10, right? There are 10. 12 minus Yosef and minus Binyamin. So Ma B'nai Yisrael Amor Kana Sarah, Af B'nai Yisrael Amor Lahalan Asara. So too B'nai Yisrael, that's mentioned later on. Also, when it says V'nik Dashti B'soch B'nai Yisrael, I should be sanctified amongst B'nai Yisrael, that refers to 10 men. Mikan l'chol davar shebikdusha shein omrim b'pachus me'asar. From here we learn out that from all davar shebikdusha, what are davar shebikdusha? So kedusha, kaddish, baruchu, right? Anything that's davar shebikdusha shouldn't be done by less than 10 people. Shouldn't be if it's done less by 10 people. So that is a Yerushalmi in Maseches Brachos, Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel. Now, however, that's the way the Yerushalmi learns that idea of a minion. If you look at the Bavli in a few places, although sometimes it leaves off some the main part, has a different limud for figuring out that 10 people are required for a minion. What is that? So that is learned out from someplace else. It says V'nik Dashti. So Amar of Adab in Brachos Daf Chafala Famebez, Amar of Adab Ra'ava Minayin She'en Hayachin Omer Kedusha. How do we know that one person shouldn't say Kedusha by themselves? Shnemar V'nik Dashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael. I will be sanctified amongst B'nei Yisrael. I remember when I was in first grade and I was davening to myself and I got up to Kedusha and I'm like, oh, I don't do this in school. Well, let me follow the instructions. It says reader. Well, I'm in first grade now. I'm a reader. So that's the part that I should probably be reading. So that's not exactly what it means. But B'nayish Eina Yachad Omer Kedusha Shnevar B'nik Tashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael. So my mashna. So how do we learn that out? So us Yatoch Toch. So we learn out of Gezeirah Shav. It says V'nik Dashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, and it also says Ksiv Hacha. Ksiv Hacha B'nei Yisrael. Ksiv Hasam. And it says by Korach, He Badlu Mistoch Ha'eda Hazos. Separate from this Eda. Ma'la Halan Asara Af Kanasara. Just as there it's 10, so too here it's 10. All right. It says by Korach, separate from this congregation. Just as there it's 10, so too this is 10. So wait a second. There is something missing there. How do we know that the Eda of Korach was 10? Where did that come?
The ten spies.
Right. So there is another Gemara, Maseches Megillah, that points to, that has the connection of the Eda of Korach to the Eda of the Meraglim. So, and the Masorah Sashas comments on that Gemara in Brachos that he left out the punchline. The punchline is, and because Eda from, we see that Eda is referred to by Korach. The word Eda is used by the Parsha of the Meraglim as well. Alright, the Torah team adds in here, right? This drasha needs a little bit more, because he barred the mitocha eida, right? Doesn't say that it's 10, right? But tzarech lahosif ve'in eida pachus me'asara. So we add in that there's no eida less than 10. K'dechsiv parshas miraglim ad masai le'eida hara'azos. How will you be with this bad eida? What is the bad eida? It's referring to the 10 spies. So the 10 spies means that it means is the smallest amount of eida. Me'iftashti besoch B'nai Yisrael learns out Toch to the Parsha of Korach, right? And therefore you know that that there's a minimum of 10 people that are required for a minyan. So it seems like we have two sources that a minyan requires 10 people. One of them is V'nikdashti with regards to, is from our parak, where it says that B'nai Yisrael refers to the 10 brothers that were going down. So that's enough for it to be 10. That's the Yerushalmi says. The Bavli says, well, it's based on the Pasuk of, you go to Parsha, to Vayikra, V'nikdashti, B'soch B'nei Yisrael, B'soch then sends you to Parshas Korach, B'soch Eida Azos, and then the Eida then sends you to Parshas Shlach, where it talks about the Eida meaning a minimum of 10 adult men. There were 12, right, but the...
Two more bad reports, right?
Right, so Hashem refers to the 10 bad ones, as being the bad Eida. Even though it needed 12. Oh, this also was 12, you're saying. Well, it's 12 for the same reason. Here there's 12 sons and there's 12 shvatim. It's the same. Right, but yeah. I got it. Okay, good. So the Torah Tamima actually makes a point where he says, why is it that the Yerushalmi didn't learn out from the same limud that the Bavli learned out from? I mean, what's wrong with the sending you to Korach and sending you to Parsha Shlach? And he answers, that's exactly what's wrong. That he wanted the clearer limud. That it's more clear just to learn from B'nai Yisrael. That's just one connection, as opposed to the double connection that's being brought forth in the Bavli in Maseches Brachos. So that Torah Tamima says that's why you might like the Yerushalmi over the Bavli. Why would you like the Bavli over the Yerushalmi? So he doesn't say. I don't have an answer for why you would. What if there's anything wrong with the limud being brought in our parak of B'nai Yisrael? But anyways, that's the source for that minyan equals 10 men as brought out in the Yerushalmi in Maseches Brachos. Now the Torah Tamima in Parshas Emor then points out that there's another source about 10 people. Not that there's another source of 10 people, but this limud is invoked in another place. Where is it invoked? In Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis is the very end of, it's towards the end of the Parsha of Bensorah Amora, and it actually is learning out there the halachus of Yehorig Val Yavor, the laws where a person should die rather than violate a prohibition. So the Gemara there says that that you only die for the big three if it's not a time of Shas Gezeres Hamalchus, but if it's a time of Gezeres Hamalchus, if it's a time of oppressive governmental decrees, even a mitzvah kala, even a light minor mitzvah, would be reason to be Yehorig Val Yavor. Okay, and what's an example of a mitzvah kala? So mitzvah kala is this shoelace business. First, even if the government orders you to change your shoelaces, which came up in the 1800s with the clothing decrees of the Tsar. The Tsar insisted on that the Jews are all separate from everybody. The problem must be their clothing. That's what leads to all the anti-Semitism, and that led to an issue of... can we change it just because the government is making us change it, or maybe we have to do Yehorig Val Yavor? So much of the strong, a lot of the strong language tshuvos about the importance of clothing and not changing our clothing came from that era, which also coincides with the birth of Hasidus, right? Which might be why that people look at the Hasidus, well, they're wearing clothing from the old country. Well, and the old country, well, they should really be wearing togas and shmatas. Well, that's really what they wore in the old countries. You think they left Egypt wearing bekeshas and stribals? It can't be. So the reason it goes to that era is because there was much emphasis on that time on clothing because there were government decrees against the clothing. That's that certainly plays into the sociology of those decisions. Anyways, he at the Rav and Amar Rabbi Yochanan then adds in one other idea in Maseches Sanhedrin. Afilu b'shalo b'shas hashmad, even if it's not a time of oppressive decrees, lo amru ela b'tzina. The idea that you should sin rather than die is only if it's a sin in private. Aval b'farhesya, if it's going to be in public, afil mitzvah kali harig val yavar. Even a light mitzvah, you would be a harig val yavar. So it's supposed to be, if it's in public, so then it's any forced violation would require Yehorig to die rather than to violate. So the Gemara then has a question. Okay, the chama parhesia. So what is the minimum amount to cause something to be befarhesia? So Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in farhesia b'chusa, you may have guessed it, me'asar b'nei adam. Right, farhesia is no less than 10 people. So the Gemara says, "El pshita Yisrael and beinus." I understand that we require Jews to be in the tent. Okay, by Rabbi Yirmiyah, tisha Yisrael v'nachri achan mahu. What about if it's 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew? Meaning, if it's a kiddush Hashem, this idea of sanctifying the name of Hashem, so maybe you could even have a minyan with non-Jews in them. So the Gemara answers, "Tashma the tani Rabbi Yane achuad the Rabbi Chia bar Abba asya toch ksiv hacham v'nitashiv v'soch b'nei Yisrael ksiv hasam yibadlu mitoch ha'ida hazos ma'halan asar." Of a Kuli Yisrael, Afkana Sar of Kuli Yisrael. Just as there it's 10 people and it's all Jews, so too in this case it's going to be 10 people and it has to be all Jews. So the Gemara is commenting here that because something is going to be Befarhesia, Befarhesia is in public. So how do we define something as taking place in public? It has to be 10 Jews. So then the Gemara then has one more question. And the Gemara says, "Vaha Esther parhesya havi." Now, when Esther was going to sin with Achashverosh, right? So that was also in public. Now, why we make that assumption, I'm not sure, but that is the assumption that the Gemara makes. Vaha Esther parhesya havi. But wait a second, Esther's activities with Achashverosh was going to be considered in public. So why? She went and she. No. But it's not that. That's considered not. That's not the Farhesia problem. The Farhesia is when she went and seduced him. So it's only later on in the story that she actually went and seduced him. That's already Perek. So how is that allowed? Right? How is that allowed? So I'm not sure why that's considered Farhesia. Who knew about it? Esther knew about it. Mordechai knew about it. How do we know that it was Farhesia? But anyway, Gemara assumes that was Farhesia. So Amar Abaye answers Esther Karka Olam Havei. Well, that's because Esther wasn't an active participant. Even though she might have seduced him, for the actual act of Bia, she wasn't an active participant. So therefore, it's perhaps not a problem. Rava Amar Hanas Atzman Shani. That if it's for his Hana, it's different. Meaning, if the king is trying to impose sins upon the Jewish people because they want to be mean, they want to destroy the Jewish religion, and things like that, so that's what these halachas of Yehorig Vayavar apply. But if he just has in mind that I want to have it for my benefit, Achashverosh wasn't trying to impose this upon the Jewish people. He didn't even know she was Jewish. Right? He just wanted to have relations with her. So therefore, that would not obligate her to be. That would not obligate her in the aspect of Yehorig Baal Yavar. However, what does that imply then about who is obligated in this? So the implication of this Gemara is that women are just as obligated in the Yehorig Baal Yavar dinim as men. Right? I'm not sure what you would have thought any differently. Right? That just as men are obligated to give their life up rather than violate certain averus or any averus under certain circumstances, women are going to have the same obligation. So here's the question. Do women count for a minyan? Would women count for a minyan in that context? I mean, you need 10 people. So the Gemara asks, maybe the 10 people can include non-Jews? So the Gemara responds, no, it can't include non-Jews. Well, it can include women. Can women be counted as the minyan with regards to that minyan? Right? And if the answer is yes, well, we deduce this idea of v'nikdash dibes. It comes from the same pasuk, v'nikdash dibes soch b'nei Yisrael. So if you're going to assume that they count as a minion for the purposes of parhesia of Yehorig Val Yavor, so perhaps they should count as a minion for all other davar shebe kedushas. Right? So the first way of dealing with this is wondering, is that assumption actually correct? Right? Is that assumption correct that women should be... that women would count towards the minyan in order to define something as being Yehorig Val Yavor. And there's very little, nobody really says much beferish. There is a machlokas, I saw this question asked to Rabbi on the Daf Yomi website series. So that someone asked this question, and he points out that, well, it's not so clear that they would be included in the minyan. There is a sefer of there's someone named Rav Yosef Engel, lived in the 1800s, put together several svarim. He actually says it beferish, and then there is a Piskei Tshuva. Piskei Tshuva is on the bottom of a page of Shulchan Aruch. So Piskei Tshuva quotes more modern authorities. So he seems to assume that they wouldn't count towards the minyan. However, there is another commentary on the side of Shulchan Aruch called the Gilyan Maharsha, who raises the issue that maybe they would count towards the minyan. On Masechta Sanhedrin, there is a sefer called Margolios Hayam. Margolios Hayam was written by someone named Rav Reuven Margolios, clearly a massive genius. This is, as you can see, very small print on the entire Masechta. Every daf he has 30, 40 little paragraphs of things to say on each little daf. So if you ever have a question like this on Masechta Sanhedrin, all you got to do is open up the Margolios Hayam. He'll usually have people, and very often people that you've never heard of, that are discussing this issue. So he ein parhesya pachos me'asar b'nei adam. So he quotes, and this is before the age of computers, I would point out that he put this together. So he says shehevi d'meya nashim. So he says, "V'lo havi parhesti, I havi rak nashim." So he quotes from the Tzafnas Paneach, the Rugged Shav, "V'lo havi." That's not considered parhesti if it's only women. Then he says, however, look at Rav Yosef Engel, where it says that nashim would be included towards the minyan. And they actually has an interesting ha'ara from the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch is shenistapik. He's not sure. Im hanenas mitzdarif lahashli masara. What about the following issue? Does the guy, or does the victim count towards the minyan of the 10 people? Right? So you have 9 plus him. So on one hand, if he's going to die, then it's only 9 people that are going to recall. Maybe that's not considered b'tzoch b'nei Yisrael. But if he doesn't die, it's going to be chil Hashem in front of 10 people. So is this aspect of Kiddush Hashem an active idea of seeing the Kiddush Hashem, or is it avoiding chil Hashem? In which case it would be okay. That's a suggestion that the Minchas Chinuch brings forth. He also has somebody from the Dvar Shmuel from Rav Shlomo Avuav, where also he says, "Yishim minyan asar l'havi esoch b'nei Yisrael v'nir dekevin shehimichuyevis b'davar ein zedoma l'tfila she'ina mitzderefes l'asar." And he says the following idea, that maybe she should be included, but just as she is obligated in it, so too she should count towards a minyan in it. That's his suggestion. That's the suggestion that Rav Abuhav brings forth. That's quoted in the Margolios Hayam, Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet Amud Beis Sif Chaf Zayin. So that's an interesting idea. So is that true? Is that true that if women are obligated, then they should count towards a minyan in it? So this idea does have its source in the Ran. The Ran in Megillah says, well, we have another mitzvah that women are obligated in, and that is Megillas Esther, that women are just as obligated in reading Megillas Esther as the male counterpart is. So the Ran says, so if that's the case, if you need to get a minyan, so a woman should count towards that minyan just like men do. Now, that Ran is not, we don't necessarily pass in that way halacha. It's also questionable, what exactly do you need a minyan for when it comes to Megillas Esther, right? We read Megillas Esther with only one person. There may be a few distinctions. We don't fold it over, and there's a couple of details that perhaps that are a little different. But you don't really need a minyan for Megillas Esther. Perhaps there is an idea of Barovam Hadras Melech. They want to have a lot of people there, but you don't necessarily need a minyan there. But with regards to counting for a minyan for these things, the Ran says, well, of course, women are obligated in it, so therefore they should. They should be counted towards that minyan. However, even according to that Ran, and he quotes from here from a sefer by Moshe Meiselman. Moshe Meiselman, he was actually in town a couple of months ago. He had a grandchild that Nebuch was in Chop, so he ended up giving him shir the kol one afternoon, like on a whim. Moshe Meiselman is the nephew of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik's sister married a Meiselman. That sister wrote a book called The Soloveitchik Heritage, just a lot of the history of Rav Soloveitchik as a little boy learning with his father. So her son is Rav Moshe Meiselman. Rav Moshe Meiselman is the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivas Toras Moshe in Israel. I assume Torah Moshe is named after Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Right? Moshe Soloveitchik was Rav Soloveitchik's father. And Rav Moshe Tversky, also named after Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yikom Damam, who was one of the people killed in the Har Nof massacre. I guess over a year and a half ago. So he was a Rebbe in that yeshiva. That's what he'd say. He and which I can't exactly work out the relationship right now, but Rav Moshe Meisman, I assume, was his uncle. I think that's how you would work it out. Uncle or great uncle. So Rav Moshe Meisman has a line, and he wrote a book called Women in Prayer. And he writes that women are enjoined to develop the area of private responsibility and therefore always remain 10 individuals rather than a unit of 10 members. So he says that it could be that for some issues, when it comes to some halachos, we just need 10 people to be present, as opposed to other halachos where we need a gathering of 10 people. So when it comes to having a gathering of 10 people, right, so that perhaps you need men as part of the kehillah. You need a kehillah of 10 men. Why that should be, I don't need that. We're not going to go into now, but that, like in terms of being, in terms of kaddish, kedusha, things like that, you need a 10-person entity. As opposed to some other mitzvos, you just need 10 individuals present. So 10 individuals, so maybe by the misa, by Kiddush Hashem, so you need 10 individuals present, because that's considered a public showing. You need 10 individuals present for Megillas Esther in order to fill some of those details that are there. But with regards to establishing a minyan, so establishing a minyan requires 10 men. So if one would assume that women would count towards a minyan of by Kiddush Hashem, would count towards the number 10 by Kiddush Hashem, or would count towards the number 10 by Megillas Esther, that doesn't necessarily have to transpose himself and say that and therefore they would count by a minyan by the other Divrei Shebek Dusha. Minyan just means number, means count. I'm not sure the term minyan is even used in the Gemara.
That's what I'm asking.
Maybe it's different, but by women, 10 people are a function of farhesia, of public. Yeah. That's not necessarily a function of edah, even though it's being quoted from the same pasuk. It could mean that the same pasuk means two different things. That one area means public, and the other area means entity of representative of Klal Yisrael. The Torah Tmima goes on, and he asks that why is it that we have by some things we need 10 people in order to consider it public, by some things we need 5 people to consider it public, and by some things we need 3 people in order to consider it public. So what would be an example of 10? So here, by the idea of minyan, by the idea of farhesia, by Sanhedrin, right? So you require 10 people. And when it comes to publicizing some halachos, the Gemara sometimes will say, well, people don't know about it. So the Gemara says, well, then publicize it. So the Gemara sometimes did. They said they probably gathered 10 people around in order to publicize a certain halacha. So that requires 10 people. By chalitza, we want 5 people there. So that seems to be an exception to the rule. The truth is, he ends up concluding that that's just an exception to the rule for a specific thing having to do with chalitza, but you also need edim in addition to the batidim to take that out. But by other things, we need 3. What would be an example of things that we need 3 for? So there is a halacha. We learn Sefer Chafetz Chaim here with Ferry Greenspan, or we finished it. I don't know if you're still doing it now. The Lashon Hara Sefer. Oh, it's in the other room. He learns Chafetz Chaim. He did it here and finished. So perhaps the most controversial halacha in Hilchos Lashon Hara is one of the most controversial is the idea of the 3 people. That if it's already told to 3 people, so then it's considered that it's known, and therefore people are permitted to talk about it. Right? You learned this halacha? Right? No? Over here? Okay. So that's what the Gemara says, that if you have 3 people that know this thing, or it happened in front of 3 people, you can tell other people about it because you don't have to worry that people are going to know about it. Now, halacha l'maisa, right, it doesn't really apply so much. What that halacha means is that a person's allowed to speak about it for another purpose, assuming everybody knows about it. Meaning, if something happens in front of 10 people, or 20 people, you're not allowed to go home and say, hey, you heard what happened to Shlomi today, the place, and isn't that funny, and what a shalom, right? That's not allowed. But for me to, let's say I'm the rabbi of a shul, and I want to give an example of somebody who did something very bad. So if it happened in front of enough people, or three people, or enough people, I'm allowed to assume that people know about it, and I'm allowed to use it as an example, even though somebody might not know it. I want to use it to prove a point about something else. So I believe. Anyways, that's what that halacha is referring to, and three people is sufficient for that. So why is it that some things require 10 people, some things require 3 people? So the Torah Tumimah suggests that when it comes to something that all of Klai Yisrael is supposed to know, that requires 10 people. The idea of Kiddush Hashem is an idea of something that is supposed to be known in front of all of Klai Yisrael. The idea of certain halachos being taught properly, that's something that all of Klai Yisrael needs to know equally. If it's something that just needs to get out in the open, that's something that needs to be public, that you know, we need to, that's reasonable that people know about it. So for something like that, that only requires that 3 people know. Okay, so that is the halacha with minyan, the halacha that and women are excluded. I was going to talk about perhaps children being excluded. This whole business with children being able to hold the chumash. Have you ever heard this this urban legend about children being able to hold the chumash? We don't pass in that way, but I have to save that for another time. Thank you.